If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, and go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. And today, we are starting a summer series called Summer in the Psalms, where over the course of this summer, we're going to work our way verse by verse through several key psalms. What is a psalm? Well, a psalm can be labeled as a poem, or a psalm can be labeled specifically as a song. Douglas O'Donnell says, Psalms is a collection of 150 poems that express a wide variety of emotions, including love and adoration toward God, sorrow over sin, dependence on God in desperate circumstances, the battle of fear and trust, walking with God even when the way seems dark, thankfulness for God's care, devotion to the Word of God, and confidence in the eventual triumph of God's purposes in the world. From tearful laments to triumphant thanksgiving, these expressions of emotion serve as patterns to shape the emotions and actions of the godly in every age. Dr. MacArthur says that the Psalms constituted of Israel's ancient God-breathed hymn book, which defined the proper spirit and content of worship. Within the Psalms, there are five different books of Psalms that include several different types of Psalms. There are Psalms of lament that present troubling situations to the Lord. There are Psalms of repentance that have to do with sin. There are psalms of praise that call for us to admire who God is. There are psalms of thanksgiving that thank God for what he has done and thanking God for answered prayer. There are psalms that celebrate the word of God. There are wisdom psalms. There are psalms of confidence that help us to deepen our trust in God through difficult circumstances. There are historical psalms that recount and celebrate God's acts in history. There are prophetic psalms, and there are royal psalms that ultimately point us to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And today, we are going to look at Psalm chapter 1, which is classified as a wisdom psalm. Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the beautiful Word of God? The Bible says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." Verse 3, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." God, we come before your throne this morning, and we just give this time to you. We submit this time to you. We submit ourselves to you. And God, we just say thank you for your word. Oh God, where would we be without your beautiful, holy, perfect, infallible, and inspired word? So God, today, as we look intently into your word, we ask and pray that where we need to be challenged, God, that you would challenge us. God, where we need to be comforted, that you would comfort us. Oh Lord, where we need to be convicted, God, that you would convict us. God, what we need to see, we ask and pray that you would help us to see. God, would you open up our hearts today? Would you open up our minds? Speak to us right now through your spirit. We love you, God, we love you. And everyone said, amen. Please be seated. So Psalm 1 is that psalm that sets up all the other psalms because it points the way to blessings and it warns us about divine judgment. And ultimately, we could say that Psalm 1 is a psalm that reflects the teaching of the entire Bible. In Psalm 1, we see two ways that are laid out before us. We see the way of life, and we see the way of death. And that is really what the teaching of the entire Bible boils down to. the way of life found only through Jesus Christ and his ways, or the way of death apart from Jesus Christ and his ways. So first of all, in this psalm, let's look at the godly. Write this down. The godly are blessed. The godly are blessed. Again, look at verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The word blessed that the psalmist uses here is the Hebrew word asher, and it is translated as happy. You could also think of this word blessed as a deep-seated joy or a deep-seated commitment or contentment that is found only in God. So who receives this type of blessing? Who receives this type of happiness, this deep-seated joy and contentment that is only found in God? According to this psalm and ultimately the teaching of the entire Bible, a person will naturally be blessed, they will naturally be happy, and will have a joy and a contentment, a deep-seated contentment when they do not, as this text says, walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. And when we read this and we read these words, when this text is talking about those who are wicked, those who are the sinners, or those who are the scoffers, our minds can immediately go to the worst of the worst type of people. We could easily think of the wicked or the sinners or the scoffers that this text is mentioning. We can think of these type of people as those who murder, or those who lie, or those who cheat, those who are thieves, a foreign dictator, an evil or a vile person. And we could easily think, well, that's not me. I'm not wicked. I'm not a scoffer. Therefore, I will be blessed. But we need to understand that when this text mentions the wicked in context, it is ultimately talking about anyone who is opposed to the authority of the Word of God over their lives. You see, there are a lot of nice and moral people out there who ultimately disregard the authority of the Word of God over their lives. And in this context, this psalm is describing them as the wicked. James would eventually write the same thing when he says, therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. How, he says? In humility. This is how. Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So we see in this text that a person will naturally be blessed when they do not walk in the way of the wicked, as one who disregards the authority of the Word of God over their lives. Rather, they will be blessed, and this leads us to our next point, they will be blessed by delighting in the Word of God. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What is the law of the Lord? During this time, it would have been the Pentateuch or the Torah, also known as the first five books of the Old Testament. It could have been the entire Old Testament, but for you and I, this is the instruction of God. It is the Word of God, and this text is saying that we will naturally be blessed whenever we delight in the Word of God. What does it mean to delight in the Word? The word delight used here is the Hebrew word hafetz, and it means to take pleasure in. It means to desire. Again, we will naturally be blessed. We will naturally have a happiness about us. We will naturally have a deep-seated joy when we take pleasure in and desire the Word of God. And then the text says, and on his law he meditates day and night. What's that mean? This means to constantly have the Word of God on our hearts. Constantly have the Word of God on our minds. Ashwood says, meditation chews the cud and gets the sweetness and nutritive virtue of the Word into the heart and life. This is the way the godly bring forth much fruit. Beisner says, we must all that is required. Mistake, thinking that casual, sporadic attention to the word of God is all that is required for godly living. He says, not so. Each of these passages emphasizes the necessity of constant, careful, meticulous concentration on the word. I love what David Guzik says about this. He says, the righteous man only has God's word on his mind two times a day, day and night. That about covers it all. You see, we will be blessed. We will have a deep-seated joy, a deep-seated contentment when we delight in the word of God and meditate on it every single day. And this is a theme. We need to understand that this is a theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. Proverbs 3 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Moses told the children of Israel the same thing. He says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. He says, O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words, that's the law of God, that's the instruction of God, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. He's saying, listen to the word, meditate on the word, delight in the word. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. He's saying, make the word of God, the instruction of God, a priority in your lives. Keep it before you. Keep it in front of you. Teach the word of God, he's saying, that it may be well with you. Joshua would remind the children of Israel, Joshua 1, be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law. That's the Torah. That's the Pentateuch. That's the instruction of God. That's the Bible for you and I. Be careful to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book, he's saying, that's the word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall what? Meditate on it. The same thing that the psalmist is saying to us. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, he says, if you do this, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Again, two ways that are laid out before the children of Israel, and two ways that are laid out before you and I. The way of life and blessing, when the word of God is submitted to and delighted in, or the way of death, when it is not. You see, this text is saying the godly are blessed. How? They are blessed by delighting in the word of God. They are blessed by submitting to the word of God. Next, we see, by delighting in the word of God, the godly will flourish. The godly will flourish. Again, understand, this is the natural result of delighting in the word of God. Look at verse 3. It says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What a great promise, right? And we need to understand this morning that the godly being blessed and flourishing, please understand this, this is not a reward from God. As a matter of fact, it is this. It is the natural outcome from delighting in the word of God. Think about it like this. If I were to take a tree and I were to plant or uproot a tree and to plant it in the middle of a desert, what's going to happen? That tree would naturally what? It would naturally die. But if I were to take that exact same tree and I were to take that tree and to plant it beside a creek or a stream or a river, what would happen? Naturally, that tree would flourish. And this is true with you and I. This is true with the Word of God. You see, your life will naturally flourish when the Word of God is your authority, when the Word of God is your delight. That's the natural outcome. As this text says, you will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season. And it says in this text, all that you do will prosper. And please understand this. This doesn't mean that you will have riches untold. What it means is this. It means that God will take care of you. It means that your life will matter for the glory of God. It means that your life will be useful unto God. It means that your life will be productive unto God. And this, again, is a clear teaching found in Scripture. The Lord favors those who fear Him, for those who submit to His Word, for those who take delight in His beautiful Word, those who wait for His loving kindness. Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes of wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. But here's the natural outcome from trusting in the Lord and from submitting to his word. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. You see, the godly will naturally flourish when they submit to and delight in the beautiful word of God. Next, we see in this text that the godly are known by God. The godly are known by God. Skip down and look at the beginning of verse 6. It says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Sometimes when you live for God, you submit to his word and you do what the word of God says, you submit your life to Jesus Christ. We've all faced this. You might ask yourself this question. Does anybody care? Does anybody notice? Does anybody even see? Can I tell you this morning? That God notices, that God cares, that God sees. And please understand that this text doesn't mean that God is just kind of aware whenever you are living for Him, even when no one notices. What this text is really saying is that God is intimately acquainted with you when you're walking in His ways. He doesn't miss it. God sees it all, even when no one else does. And guess what? That's all that matters. As the text says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He's watching. He's watching. He's watching over you. He's watching over your steps. He sees. Paul said the same thing. He says, don't grow weary of doing good. senior adult, he's saying, don't grow weary of doing good. Young parent out there, he's saying, don't grow weary. I see it. Teenager, he says, don't grow weary of doing the right thing. I know the way of the righteous. Look at the promise. He says, don't grow weary. Keep living for the glory of God. Keep walking in the ways of God. He says, for in due season you will reap if you do not give up. God sees it all. The godly are known by God. Next, we see in this text, the ungodly. As the godly are blessed, they're blessed by delighting in the word of God. They will flourish when they delight in the word of God. They are known. Next, we see the ungodly have no stability. The ungodly have no stability. Look at the contrast. Look at the complete opposite. He says, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Remember, the wicked in this passage of Scripture are defined by anyone who does not submit to the authority of the Word of God. It says the wicked are like chaff. What in the world is that? What is chaff? You see, during this time, whenever they would go out and they would harvest the grain, they would take the grain and they would take it and they would throw it up into the air. And that which was real grain, that which had real substance, the real grain would fall back down to the ground and into a pile. But that which was worthless, that which was waste, that which was chaff, the wind would come and take it and just blow it away, would come and get rid of it. As a matter of fact, here's an example of this in this video. Take a look at this. So you see the grain, that which has real substance, falling back to the ground. But you see the waste, you see the chaff being carried away with the wind. So we see in this text, the wicked, those who do not submit to the word of God, they have no stability. No stability. It says eventually their life will be blown away by the winds. Again, a clear teaching of Scripture. Psalm 146, the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Next, we see in this text, the ungodly will not stand in judgment. That's what it says, verse 5, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. See, the Bible makes it very clear that we will all be judged one day. We will all be judged, and you will either be judged having submitted to the Lordship of Christ and His Word, or you will be judged standing alone. And if you are judged standing alone, not having submitted your life to the Lordship of Christ and His Word, the Bible makes it very clear that you will not stand. Matthew 25 speaks of this great judgment that is one day to come. At the end of that amazing chapter, it says, these will go away into eternal punishment. Who are these? Those who did not submit to the Lordship of Christ. Those who did not submit to the authority of the Word of God. But it says, the righteous. That's exactly what this text is talking about in Psalm 1. Who are the righteous? Those who submitted to the Lordship of Christ. Those who placed their faith and their hope and their trust in the shed blood of Christ and proved it by submitting to His Word. The righteous into eternal life. We see the godly will not stand in judgment. Rather, we see in this text that the ungodly will perish. That's what the word says. Again, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. It will be like chaff that is blown away by the wind. It's done away with. It's discarded of. They will not stand in the judgment. They cannot stand on their own. They will perish, as this text says. And again, this is a clear teaching of Scripture. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you have rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. Again, blown away like chaff in the wind. I love this poem. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So what's this mean for us in closing? How can we apply this challenging text to our lives? Number one, this text clearly calls us to read, memorize, meditate on, and do all that the Word of God says. Again, James would go on to say, therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. The same thing that this psalm is saying. How? In humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And then I love what James goes on to say. Receive the Word, but then he says this, prove yourselves doers of the Word. Of course, anyone can hear it. Anyone can listen to it. But James says, do what the Word says. Not merely hearers who delude themselves, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, again, that's the Word of God, that's the instruction of God, the law of liberty, and what? Abides by it, does what it says, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will what? Be blessed in what he does. The same thing that this text in Psalm 1 is telling us. This man will prosper. It means that God will take care of you. God will provide for you. Your life will matter for the glory of God. So first of all, we have to, as James says, as this text is calling us to do so, we have to what? We have to read the Word, right? We have to meditate on the beautiful Word of God. And here's my challenge for myself this morning, for this summer, for the months to come, for the years ahead. Let's ask ourselves this question today. Are we doing that? Are you doing that? Are you reading the beautiful Word of God? Are you meditating on the beautiful Word of God? Do you have a system in place for you to be able to do that? You see, in this day and age, especially in our culture where we live, we really have no excuse. The Word of God is so readily available to you and I. I mean, I have at least 15 to 20 copies of the Word of God. On my phone, I have 1,000 different copies of the Word of God. The Word of God is readily available to us. I mean, just our phones to think about, that I can open up my phone and I can go to this app called the YouVersion Bible app. And by just a touch of a few buttons, I can have at my fingertips hundreds of translations of the beautiful Word of God. And I can read through different translations. I can even hear the Word of God at the touch of a button.
The Gospel according to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
And I can stop right there.
And the life was the light.
And I can meditate on that amazing scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, not anything made that was made. And I can stop and just chew on that amazing scripture just for a second. That took me just 2 minutes to think about that amazing truth that this text is telling me, that in the beginning, Jesus Christ was there. That he was with God when the world was created, and it was all created through Jesus Christ. And to take just that thought and to meditate on that thought all day long, what's that going to do for you? What's that mean, that if Jesus Christ can speak and everything we see that was made by him, what's that do for our problems? They're nothing, right? What a great reminder. So the Word of God is always before us. And you might say to yourself, well, what do I read? I know I have the Bible, but what do I read? There's a billion and one different plans out there of different things that you can read. I'll show you what I do. In our church, we have this thing called the SOAP Bible Reading Plan. I've laid about 50 of these little things outside in the foyer. You can grab one on the way out. But in it, it has something that you can read every single day. There's different versions of this all over the place, but this is what I do. And there's what several of our people in our church do. They read through this, and what do? We talk about some different things that we're reading. There's two different plans. There's a plan that takes you through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Maybe if you've never been doing this, I would encourage you maybe just to start with plan two that takes you through just the New Testament and try it for a year. Try it for a year, and then maybe next year go to plan number one that takes you through the Old Testament and the New Testament. But do you have a plan to read the beautiful Word of God and to meditate on the Word of God? And then after we read it and after we meditate on the Word of God, what do we have to do next? We have to do what the Word says, right? Even if it doesn't make sense. Because there's a lot of things in this Word, I'm telling you, that are challenging. But as this text says, if we do them, we'll be blessed because of it. If the Word says to love others, then we should love others, right? Even those who are difficult to love. We shouldn't hold grudges. We shouldn't hate anybody else. If the Word says to forgive, then we should forgive, as God in Christ forgave us. If the Word says to make worship a priority, then the worship of God, the corporate worship of God, should be a priority. If the Word says to tithe 10% of our income, then at a minimum, we should tithe 10% of our income. That's what the Bible says. If the Word says not to have sex outside of a marriage covenant, then listen, we should not have sex outside of a marriage covenant. If the Word says submit to authority, then we should submit to authority. If the Word says it, we must do it. And as a result of what the text clearly tells us, we will be blessed as a result of that. And lastly, how can we apply this amazing text to our life? Number two, choose the lordship of Jesus Christ and focus my life on what matters by submitting to his word. You see, whenever we are reading the Old Testament, we always need to ask ourselves this question. How does this ultimately point me to Christ? How does this point me to the Son of God? How does this point me to the cross? Did you know that the Son of God said the exact same thing? He said this: enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. That's the way of the world. According to this text, Psalm 1, that's the way of the wicked. That's the way of anyone who does not submit to the authority of Jesus. The way of anyone who does not submit to the authority of the Word. It's an easy way. It's the way of the world. And Jesus says, that's the broad way. That's the easy way. He says, there are many who are going through that way. There are many who are choosing that broad gate. But Jesus says, don't do that. Jesus says this: for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. What is that way? That's the way of submission to Jesus. That's the way of submission to the lordship of Christ. That's the way of submission to the authority of the Word. Yeah, it's more difficult. You better believe it is. It's a much smaller gate, as Jesus says. This gate over here, the way of the world, it's an easy way. He says, but this gate, much smaller. He says, but you enter through this gate, the way of Christ. He says, what? You find life. You find life. You see, you and I cannot even begin to walk in the blessing of God until you submit to the Lordship of Christ. Why do you need to submit to the Lordship of Christ? Because the Bible clearly says this, and I'm not going to water this down. I'm not going to water this down. The Bible clearly says that unless you submit to the Lordship of Christ, unless Jesus is Lord, the Bible makes it very clear, and Romans 5 clearly spells this out. The Bible says that you and I are an enemy of God. That's what the text clearly tells us in the Word. But the Bible says this as well, that when Jesus is your Lord and you submit to the Lordship of Christ, and you call on the name of the Lord to save you, you repent of your sin. The Bible says you're saved. The Bible says that you're on his side. And I want to remind us this morning in closing that you think to yourself, man, if I do this, I submit truly to the Lordship of Christ, to the authority of the Word, and that way, this broad gate, man, there's a lot of things I'm just not looking forward to giving up. This way over here, I just don't know. Can I just remind you that this way eventually leads to death. This way, it leads to life. And I want to remind you of this. When you submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, when you submit to the authority of the Word of God, you lose nothing. You gain everything. Would you pray with me? Well, God, we thank you for your beautiful word. Even though so much of it is sometimes beyond our understanding, it's beyond our logic, it goes against the grain of the world, the way of the world, but we say thank you for it. Because it's given to us as a guide to life. And ultimately, what the Word of God points to is how we can find true life and how we can find eternal life. And that is through submission to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for that great promise. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, the invitation is really twofold. Number one, have you truly submitted yourself to the Lordship of Christ and His Word? The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Why do you need to do that? Because you try to stand on your own, the Bible makes it very clear that you will eventually fall, that you will eventually perish, that you will eventually face judgment. And without having submitted to the Lordship of Christ, you will face judgment on your own, and you cannot stand. Well, have you submitted to the Lordship of Christ? If not, you can do that right here in this moment. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean? You repent of your sin, you turn your back on your way of life, and you desire what you want, and you submit fully to Christ. You can do that this morning. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You call on Him to save you right now. Walk through the narrow gate, the gate of Jesus, and find true life. Maybe you're in this place this morning and you get that, but man, you have the Word of God has really gone by the wayside in your life, would you make a commitment this morning that the Word of God is going to have priority in your life, meaning that you're going to take the time to read it, to study it, to meditate on it, but most importantly, to do what it says? Maybe you need to find a plan. Maybe you need to get a new Bible, a study Bible, or maybe you need to grab one of those pamphlets on the way out. Whatever it needs, whatever you need, would you just make a commitment this morning that the Word of God is going to have priority in your life? We love you, God. Thank you for your Word. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, we're going to stand to our feet. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing this song that we sang earlier, Christ is Enough for Me. And I want us just to proclaim this truth, that He is enough for us. Would you worship Him? Would you sing? Would you give Him honor? Would you give Him praise? If you need prayer this morning, we would love to pray over you. We would love to pray with you. If there's anything that's going on in your life, we would love to join in prayer.